Okay, our number is down quite a bit today. We have several, a couple who are out of town, and several who are not feeling well, so we need to remember them in our prayers. But we're glad everybody is here that is here. The title of the lesson today is Better Things for You. And this is taken from a passage, Hebrews 6 verse 9. I guess I need to change that. But anyway, better things for you. All right, verse 9. But beloved, we are convinced of better things concerning you and things that accompany salvation, though we are speaking in this way. For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name in having a ministered and in still ministering to the saints. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. All right. See, one of the qualities of a loving parent is to provide for their children and things that are better for them than what they have experienced. And that's true. I mean, my parents went through things when they were starting out. I went through things when I was starting out or having children of my own. And so we just want the best for our children. And that's a loving parent does that. But many believe that the adage, leave the world in better shape than when you entered it, is a just and noble cause. And that's very true. We should try and leave this world in a better place. All right. Can we say things are better today than when we entered this world? Well, that depends how you look at it. Technology is fantastic. We know that. But you know what? A lot of people in this world have just gotten evil. And they're promoting every sort of evil you can imagine. And so we question that. What about our little world, the world that we live in? I mean, what type of legacy are we going to leave behind? And so, in some ways, we are better off, but in many ways, this world is not better than a few decades ago. And yet, if we are a faithful Christian today, then yes, it is better off for us than maybe in the past. I know some of us from this congregation had some pretty checkered past. We're a lot better now that we are faithful to the Lord. All right, so this is nothing unusual about our times, as each generation and culture has experienced the exact same problems. I mean, there's nothing new under the sun. The preacher said 1,000 years ago, there's nothing new under the sun. That was about 3,000 years ago when he said that. And in our country, even our poorest of society live a much more lavish lifestyle than some of the richest in other nations. And so we are blessed if we live in this nation. Those who don't live in our nation, they just dream about what we talk about and the things we say. Well, I drove my car up to go visit somebody, and some of them probably say, I wish I had a car. And so we realize that. But see, the thing about it is our blessings have become so commonplace for us that we take for granted the fact that many people in this world go hungry every day. None of us go hungry. Sometimes that's evidenced by looking at our bodies, but we don't go hungry. But a lot of people do. And so we play on our cell phones without thinking how great it is to have one. I mean, while many wish they had a way to communicate with family and loved ones, you know, that takes us back 50 years ago. If you were out on the road and you had a flat, guess what? You had to walk down to the service station to find a phone, and you better hope you had a dime with you, or it got up to a quarter. You better hope you had a quarter with you so you could call somebody and they could come help you out. And so, I mean, that's it. We entertain ourselves with these cell phones, but that can also have its own liabilities, as we've seen as well. But anyway, being able to communicate with family and loved ones, I mean, that would be nice for them. And like I say, we drive around in cars while many in the world only walk or ride. Maybe they ride an animal or they ride in a cart drawn by an animal. I mean, that's it. That's their life. And they put heavy burdens upon themselves. We've all seen pictures of the little kids carrying a giant bundle of sticks on his head. I mean, just to make a few pennies for the family and things like that. And so we take all these things for granted and fail to realize just how blessed we are to be living in this country. And yeah, even though we have problems and we complain about problems, and a lot of people in this country thinks that they hate this country because it's so horrible. Well, our words for them is, why don't you just go leave to another country? Well, they don't want to do that because honestly, this is the greatest country on earth. I mean, when they think about it, when we think about it, but they want to change it. Anyway, let's keep going. More than the material things we have to deal with, we really need to concentrate upon making our spiritual lives better. Now, that means we have to examine ourselves to see where we are in the faith and then realize, what can I do to make my spiritual life better? This is a question we should be asking ourselves every day. Not just once a month, not once a year, not at resolution time and New Year's Day, but we should be asking ourselves, what can I do to make myself better spiritually speaking? And that's what we need to focus upon. That's what we need to concentrate upon. And we do that by our exposure to God and to the children of God. And this is something that all men are allowed to share in. I mean, it's made available for everybody. Everybody can have a way of improvement in the sight of God. I mean, he's offered them the tools that they need to be that way. And it does not matter how rich they are or how poor they are. Anyone can come to the Lord if they want to. And so when their mind is focused upon spiritual matters, their outlook on life is much better. Even though we're disappointed, we see all this garbage out there. We see what this world is trying to force and shove down our throats. And we get all upset about it. But you know what? If our mind is focused on spiritual thoughts, we find ways just to ignore that. I mean, one of the easiest ways for me would just turn off the news. I don't even watch the news anymore. And maybe I'll check out a weather forecast, but I mean, all that other stuff is a bunch of garbage that I just really don't want to listen to. And guess what? My life has become a whole lot more simpler because of that. And there's other things. I mean, getting ourselves focused on God. I mean, that's where we need to be. And that's what makes our life better. So that's why the Hebrew writer wrote in chapter 6, verse 9, "Beloved, we are convinced of better things concerning you, and things that accompany salvation, though we are speaking in this way." See, no matter what this world has to offer, the things concerning salvation are much better. They're the things we need to be focused on, because that's what our life needs to be focused on. In order to get this salvation, we've got to put our focus upon Jesus and what he did for us. We have to put our focus on God and what he wants from us. And so concerning salvation, I mean, that is where our life will become a lot better, if it's not as complicated with all the garbage and all the stress that this world throws our direction. And so I could say, of course, this is really a matter of perspective. Some people don't want God in their lives. Some people just want to, they deal with this. They wish they had a better way of doing it. They wish they had a simpler life. They wish they had that. But they don't have God in their life. As the preacher said, it's all vanity. If you don't have God in your life, it is all vanity. And so, for the mindset on the flesh will seek fleshly pleasure, while the mindset on the spirit will behave themselves. Does that sound familiar to you? Galatians 5, 16 through 18 pretty much says that. And so, We recognize this world and everything in it is temporal and will not endure. Like 1 John 2:15-17. The things of this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life will all perish with the using. But he who does the will of God will abide forever. So everything in this world is temporal. The things which are seen are temporal. What we need to focus on are those unseen things, the spiritual. Those will produce eternal consequences. And so our soul is eternal and will exist even into the next realm, which is past death. The majority of the people in this world, they fear death because they think that ends it all right there. And they want to live as long as they can and have as much fun as they can. But trying to do so without God is vanity. Because we who believe in God know what the end result will be for them. And that's where we have a responsibility to try and guide them towards the right direction. That's why we need to set a good example and be a good influence with the people around us. And so many people live life only worried about their death and it all being over, so they think. But we know it's not going to be over because the Bible teaches us there is a realm after death. We will stand before God in judgment. Hebrews 9:27 tells us that. It's appointed for man once to die, and after that, the judgment. So the Bible teaches there is a life after death, and we should be focused upon our eternal destiny. We only have two choices in this matter. Our eternal destiny will either be heaven or hell. And so the decisions and choices we make will determine which one of those we're going to get. If we realize our destiny is hell, we need to take measures to correct our behavior and change our course towards heaven. And we can do that if we follow God's directions. We can't do it on our own, but we can follow God's direction and get there. And if we see heaven in our future, we need to maintain our course and not stray away from it. And let's not have the false hope that, well, I've got heaven in my future, so I can do whatever I want. Or I can ignore what God has to say, I've still got heaven in my future. No, that's not going to work, folks. We have to maintain our course. We have to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. And so, God has given us everything we need to know how to get to heaven. And so his word was brought to us through the work of the Holy Spirit, and he informs us the mind and will of God in written form that is simple to understand, and if we apply ourselves to learning it. Some people teach you that it's impossible to learn or to understand the Bible. Well, no, it's not. The Bible is very easy to understand if you want to. Those people who don't want to study it, I mean, don't want to follow the truth, I mean, they're not going to understand it because they don't want to understand it. And so we read in 2 Peter 1:3, seeing that his divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. I mean, so through the knowledge of the Son of God, through the knowledge of God who sent his Son, he calls us by his own glory and excellence. What does he call? He calls us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so that's what he does for us. See, the Hebrew writer continues in verse 10 of this passage, Hebrews 6, for God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name, in having ministered and is still ministering to the saints. All right, God does not forget all the good that we do. Now, about the only thing that God forgets is our past sins. As long as we are repenting, confessing, and ceasing those iniquities. But there's something else he will forget. If we read the story of the watchman, Ezekiel chapter 3 and Ezekiel chapter 33. If you tell a man of his sins and he does not repent, then yeah, his blood will be upon his own head. And if he does this, I mean, God, if one turns from his righteous ways and starts practicing evil ways, God will forget all the righteousness that he did. But turn that around, if a man will repent of his wicked ways and turn towards the good ways, God will forget the evil that that person had done. So we learn that from the Old Testament, and that's just as true today as it was then. If we start seeking towards the righteous way and living the righteous life, then our past life, God's going to forget about that. Because our past life was not right. It was in hostility towards God. But now, if we're trying to live right with God, that is good. And he will remember that we are doing that. But if we stop doing that, he will forget our goodness that we have done. So folks, that's why Jesus said, you hang in there till the end. That's why Revelation, John says, be faithful until death. So God has given each of us the duty to minister to others in whatever ways are needed. And so when we talk of ministering, you're providing people what they need. And so that can be done in many different ways. And all of us, men and women, can do such things. All right, we may not be able to give someone money who is suffering, but we can do something. I mean, provide a meal, share some clothing, or provide a place for rest. And then, of course, the list goes on and on of the many ways we can provide goodness for others. All right, so look at the great judgment scene, Matthew 25. You remember this? He gathered all the people together for judgment. He put the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. Then Jesus spoke up and said to those on the right, you saw me hungry and gave me food. You saw me thirsty and gave me drink. You saw me without shelter and you gave me shelter. And they said, well, Lord, when did we do this for you? And his response was, the fact that you did it for the least of mine. You did it for me. And then the Lord turns around and says to those on his left, you saw me hungry and you didn't feed me. You saw me thirsty and didn't give me drink. Well, Lord, we would never have done that to you. When did we not do that for you? The fact that you didn't do it to the least of mine, you didn't do it for me. And so those who were on the left, he says, depart from me into the everlasting darkness reserved for the devil and his angels. All right, so Jesus commended those who assisted others and how he condemned those who refused to help others. See, that's our responsibility. To be right in the sight of God, we've got to treat others right. I mean, no mistreating them, no being rude to them, but showing them kindness and mercy and love. And if someone does something you don't like, you don't sit there and berate them and make fun of them and chew them out. Okay. Let it go. I mean, that's what we should do. And so that's what happens. And so these are the better ways that God has shown to us. How we treat others is more important. I mean, that's really one of the most more important things we need to concentrate upon. I mean, we get involved in the semantics of language. We get involved in the technicalities of scripture and everything. And those are still important. But yet, if we mistreat people along the way, I mean, what good does it do? It doesn't do us any good at all. I mean, we're told to preach the word in love, speaking the truth in love, Ephesians 4 and verse 15, speaking the truth in love. And then later on in chapter 4, speak truth one with another. And build them up, and the coarse language, the bad language, the put that away from you and speak truth with each other. And Peter even talked about put away anger, wrath, malice, and bitterness out of your mouth and long for the pure milk of the word, which is able to save your souls. That's 1 Peter 2 verses 1 and 2. So yeah, God wants us to do something better. See, just because we may have assisted someone in the past does not mean we have done our full duty. I mean, let's face it, there are people in need everywhere around us. Now, some people we have to use a little bit of judgment and realize I'm limited in what I can do. I mean, especially with prices the way they are, I mean, it's just something we have to be very wise in what we're doing, but what we can do for each other. And perhaps they do not need food or shelter, but there is a need for their soul salvation. We definitely know the people around here need the saving gospel message. And so we need to be providing a good example for them. That's why we need to let our light shine. And so we should care about their souls so as to help them find salvation God offers. And yes, most people don't want to be approached by it. I mean, we can speak from experience. A lot of people, you knock on the door and say, "Have you heard about Jesus Christ?" They'll slam the door in your face and things like that. But no, as long as we demonstrate the kindness and the respect towards others, that we could have an impact upon them, and they just might wonder, I mean, what's wrong with these people? They're really weird. Yeah, we might be considered strange, but isn't that what Peter said? We'd be considered strange? Yeah. I mean, he said we're considered a peculiar people. In our everyday language, peculiar is kind of weird, but that's what we are. You go back to the original language, peculiar means basically a set apart people, just like sanctified. I mean, a particular people that are set apart for a purpose. And so, yeah, but we just need to be there, ready to give an answer if someone asks us the hope within us, and just be ready to do those things. All right, in verse 11, we read, "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end." And like we said, applying all diligence means to make every effort possible in our pursuit of this hope. How often do we apply our whole, complete, 100% effort in trying to do the things of God? Well, we sometimes try and work it in sometime during our busy schedule, but that doesn't mean 100%. And yeah, I mean, we just need to make every effort possible in our pursuit of this hope. That means studying. I mean, that means, okay, rather than watching the TV program, just turn off and study for a while. Or spend that time in prayer, or in thinking, or meditation, or something. And or doing something for somebody. Spending time with fellow Christians. I mean, that is always encouraging to spend time with fellow Christians. And we must be faithful until death, and we cannot slack off. And so that's very true. Even when we get old, we should never slack off. Why? Because when we're old, we have acquired a lot of wisdom, we have acquired a lot of knowledge, and it's really our responsibility to teach the younger generation. Now, we can't help it if they don't want to listen to us, but that's our job, is to try and teach the younger generation. This is, I mean, talking about God and what God has done. I mean, so being faithful until death, and don't slack off. So you see, verse 12 starts off, "that you may not be sluggish." I mean, here's something else we have to be careful. We don't need to be lazy. We do not be slacking off in our duty towards serving God or each other. And laziness is something that has taken place. They had a seminar not too long ago. A bunch of preachers preached some series of lessons on dealing with the problem post-pandemic, after the pandemic, after all these churches did their Zoom and their streaming and everything. Says there's a lot of lazy members of the church. I mean, nowadays we're hard pressed to try and get them back into church. I mean, so for various reasons, but a lot of them are just lazy and serving God. And it is certain that Jesus needs us to be active in the spread of the gospel message that can provide salvation to those who hear and obey. I mean, he needs us to be busy in that. Because, let's face it, if we don't tell them about Jesus, do you think the news channel is going to do that? You think the sports channel is going to talk about how to become a child of God? You think they're going to get that from the movies and the everything else in this world? No. Only Christians are going to provide that information they need for their soul salvation. So if we're not sure how to accomplish this in Hebrews, the writer continues in verse 12, "Do not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." All right, so we need to look at those who are setting a good example of faithfulness. All right, some people have figured out what God wants from them, and we all can learn from those good examples. They're out there. And yes, we have some here. We have some of those examples here. And we can learn from that. And truly, it would be better to go to heaven than to hell. I mean, that ought to be obvious. And that's why we're here, I would think. That's why we're here. And keeping a spiritual mindset will help us get there. And it's a mindset that we cannot let go of. We've got to keep it until the end. So, are you ready to consider the better things that God has in store for you? I mean, that's an important question, and one we need to examine ourselves to make sure that we are right in doing these things. So consider these things, and we always offer the invitation, even if it's just a few of us, and we could say the few faithful that are here. I mean, there are some faithful who are not here because of sickness or otherwise, but we know there are some who are kind of weak in the faith, and they're not here, and they need to hear messages like this. So think about these things. If you're subject to invitation, we'll invite you to come while we stand and sing.